Hey, everybody, welcome back, or welcome to, for the first time maybe, Mentors Today. I'm really excited. I'm Rob Ryan, your host, and I'm here alongside my co-host and co-creator, Ileana Jaime Felix. Ileana, how are you?
Hola, Rob. Muy bien. Feliz de estar de nuevo aquí platicando contigo.
We're excited to be back. We got a big topic. There's a lot going on in the world. And we're going to dive into some of the important stuff tonight.
This, right? 2020 has been, every day is happening a lot in the world. We thought we cannot like get more surprise. Every time we get more surprise, but
yes,
we're still 100%. in the fight.
I tweeted out a couple of hours ago, you know what I'm really looking forward to? 2022.
Not even 21. Okay. We will talk about that.
Exactly. I'm really looking forward to 2022. So why don't you introduce our super special guest today to our audience?
Muy bien. Pues muchísimas gracias por escucharnos una vez más en Mentors Today. Este día estamos súper contentos porque tenemos un invitado especial en nuestro programa. Nos encanta tener invitados especiales que nos puedan dar una nueva perspectiva y tener una discusión divertida entre, no solamente entre Rob y yo. Entonces, pues bueno, quiero darle la bienvenida a Rafa Lorenzo. Él es un gran amigo y además es el director de la Red de Emprendimiento Innovador para el Tecnológico de Monterrey. Eso quiere decir que está a cargo de muchísimas iniciativas que tienen que ver con el emprendimiento más allá de solamente la educación, sino desde una perspectiva de aprender haciendo y ejecutando. Él nos va a platicar un poquito más sobre eso. Tiene varios departamentos importantes del Tec de Monterrey, como es la zona de emprendimiento, la zona Shiro, donde las mujeres tienen un rol importante, y también pues el programa de aceleración y seguimiento de empresas Enlace Más. Muchísimo gusto tenerte por acá, Rafa. Bienvenido.
Gracias, y gracias, Rob. Es también un gran gusto estar aquí y poder compartir con ustedes una conversación acerca de, bueno, qué reflexionar acerca de qué es lo que viene, o qué es lo que podría pasar, o qué aprendizajes hemos tenido en los últimos meses, y pues muy contento.
So first thing I want to know, Rafa, is there a project or a program inside of Tec de Monterrey that you're not involved in? Based on that introduction, that was pretty impressive.
It's been great work in the last years, and as I mentioned, I'm more involved in the incubation acceleration part of Tech with TechLink, for instance, and also I have also a role in the academic part because of Tech 21 educational model. So we have designed some educational units.
You are very talented, very, very bright, very capable leader, and Tech is smart to use you in a bunch of different ways because you've got a ton to offer. And I've enjoyed following you and collaborating with you in different ways over the last four, almost 5 years, I think. So it's really fun to have you on the show tonight, buddy. Ilay, take it away.
Okay. Queríamos invitarte a este programa porque, como sabemos y hemos estado viviendo estos últimos meses muchos cambios, el otro día tuvimos una conversación off the record tú y yo sobre cómo nos estamos relacionando ahora de manera distinta las personas y cómo esto ha impactado no solo en la educación, sino en nuestro día a día. Entonces, pues bueno, me gustaría partir como de ahí por la naturaleza de tu puesto. ¿Cómo ves tú los cambios en la educación de cara al futuro, tomando en cuenta la situación que hemos estado viviendo actualmente?
Yo creo que vienen tiempos muy interesantes y como pues, en muchos lados y como lo han hecho millones de estudiantes y profesores en todo el mundo, pues tuvimos que convertirnos, convertir toda la educación que teníamos presencial a educación remota, ¿no? Educación virtual. Y pasó lo mismo con nuestros programas de incubación acelerada como TechLink, ¿no? Y otros programas como y retos como el Heineken Green Challenge. Tuvimos que mover todo, inclusive el festival de Inc. Monterrey, que este año por primera vez fue completamente virtual. Y han pasado cosas muy interesantes, ¿no? Sin duda, y que es algo de lo que reflexionábamos la vez pasada, es que pues sí hace falta esta parte presencial, ¿no? Estar presente, estar unos frente a otros, de mirar a los ojos, ¿no? De dar un abrazo, de ¿cómo se llama? De ver las reacciones, y eso es yo creo que es vital, ¿no? Eso no hay tecnología que creo que la vaya a hacer a un lado. Pero por otro lado también la realidad es que hemos descubierto que hay otras posibilidades también en la parte en línea. Hemos visto partes de los programas ser más efectivos y también hemos visto que a través de la virtualidad podemos llegar a más emprendedores, muchos más emprendedores. Por ejemplo, tuvimos casi al principio de la cuarentena y del trabajo remoto, tuvimos la oportunidad de, además de, como mencioné, pasar nuestros programas a formato virtual, también creamos y lanzamos series con Z, ¿no? Que es, nuestro, es un programa donde damos pláticas, onboards gratuitos a cualquier persona que se conecte. Y bueno, hasta el día de hoy hemos tenido la participación de más de 35 mil personas, lo cual te dice un poco el impacto que puede tener, se llama, o el alcance que puede tener la virtualidad. Y también hemos tenido otros programas en donde hemos tenido emprendedores de todas partes de la República, como el Genetic Green Challenge, inclusive algunos emprendedores diciendo que si no hubiera sido el virtual, difícilmente pudieron haber asistido, ¿no? Presencialmente a Monterrey. Entonces, creo que ha habido muchos aprendizajes y yo creo que lo más interesante por ver es, una vez que esté controlada la pandemia, que ya hay noticias alentadoras alrededor de las vacunas, es cómo va a ser, ¿no? Una vez que esté controlado todo esto, qué oportunidades podemos explotar para avanzar justamente pues, en esta agenda. ¿No?
Sí, I will answer a little bit in English. And I think that, yeah, of course, the technology have allowed us to join and to get people that otherwise we will never impact. But the other thing that I was thinking, and that was the thing that I was kind of discussing with you, is what would happen of if it this is going to be like what is going to last in the virtual reality, that right now everybody's saying like maybe we will never go back to the office again, or maybe we will never go back to the classroom again. I don't know what will be good to keep and what should we don't keep from this new reality, because I think if we right now we are saying like no, this is going to happen, but we don't really know yet. I think that, for instance, the year haven't end, even though it feels like it. We are doing like statements, and we don't know like for sure how it's going to be.
I think it will be more a mixed, a hybrid kind of thing, though, in which we will be able to select the best channel, you know, for the specific objectives or for instance, for education, and something that we were talking about is that, for instance, we don't have to be at 7 a.m. at college or the university to take classes. And then if you are in Mexico City, for instance, and then wake up at 5 a.m., go all through the traffic, it doesn't make sense now, especially that every class in many colleges and universities are online. Being in the university, being in the campus, and all the experiences that you have there are even it will be, I think, more relevant. But what I think it could happen is that we will be able to select the channel that we want to be involved in. And in the same, for instance, for working, of course, many of the meetings that we have all together in a special and in one site, I think many of them, if not the majority of them, could be held on the by the video conference, you know, and even some travels, and I and I can say that I used to travel a lot, sí. and I don't miss a thing about, you know, of course I do miss meeting people and being in close contact with them, but for the sake of the meeting or the topics that you are dealing in meetings, you can do it perfectly, sí. Or many of them virtually. So I think that if you say that. The airline industry is gonna be hit hard in that, because many not like essential travel will be canceled. I mean, and in education, I think that it will be more like I would like to see more like a mix, hybrid option.
That was the I was going to inject, and I would love both of your opinions on this next couple of comments. But so last night I was on another show on another network. I was on another show on another platform. This audio platform. This audio platform called Clubhouse. And in that show, we were with a bunch of operators, VCs, founders, influencers from LATAM. And we were discussing remote work, like we were discussing the future of work. So two things, I'll pose it as questions, but two comments that came up a lot last night. And Ile, I would love for your feedback in addition to Rafa's. But one was, I think, what you were just hitting on, Rafa, which is that the those that were advocating for remote work and for distributed work and for the use of co-works to replace like central offices with commutes, what they were really arguing for was their word optionality, right? Like flexibility, mm-hmm. optionality, right? So employees having options, the worker, the companies having options, universities having options, students having options, flexibility, right? That's really what we're talking about now. We're not really talking about like a corporate office versus working in your versus exactly. working or studying in your apartment. We're talking about some. So I would love to feel like hear your thoughts on that. And then the other one was kind of the fundamental question, like, is what we're going through right now an accelerator, an accelerant of things that were coming anyways at yeah. some moment, right? Or is what we're going through right now just a blip? And just an exception. And the minute that this exception is fixed or finished, we just go back to what we were doing.
We're talking about flexibility for sure, and real flexibility and seeing the possibilities of these options of remote, being the on site, and so on. But also, I think that, and it's something I was discussing yesterday about the acceleration of these things. And I would say that yes, I think it's the acceleration of these options has to be mandatory. We didn't have any other option, you know. But that doesn't mean that it will keep the same after the pandemic is under control. But on the other hand, what is certain is that the adoption of digital technologies has been accelerated and has been incorporated in many degrees of depth in many activities, you know, from education, corporate work, small business work, organizational work. And I think that for sure there has been this acceleration of the adoption rate of these technologies. Yeah. And for sure it will be the source of many opportunities in the near future, meaning that, of course, if we are in this Zoom platform, you know, we can expect that this Zoom platform won't be the same in six months or in 1 year. They have seen the possibilities. At the same time, other platforms like Google or Microsoft or many other startups in EdTech, for instance, they're out there. That they are taking advantage of this great amount of people joining and using digital applications and digital platforms to test, to evolve their products, to you know. And I think that in this process, they will discover a lot of opportunities for the near future. And these new opportunities, these new offers, and these new business models that will arise after during this pandemic and this time. And after that, we will see a lot of very nice innovative solutions for many things. For instance, even though that we talk about this adoption of digital technologies, we need to keep in mind that there are millions of people that are not connected.
Right.
You know, if we talk about education, for instance, how many kids, how many young people are not connected and are taking their classes in a very ineffective way, in many ways trying to catch up with the curricula, with the program, but they are not doing it effectively because they probably don't have access to internet. Probably they don't have a computer at home or even a mobile, you know, that some of them can do it. I was talking with a teacher in elementary school in the public sector, and I asked him, how do you handle all this? And he said, okay, Google Classroom is the option, but the rest, they meet once a month, I think, in Google Meet because of the Google Classroom. But the rest of the time, they are interacting in a WhatsApp chat with the parents. Even though they are working hard to keep students completing their curricula, it's very ineffective, you know.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say. So, and that should also be a source of opportunities. So, what is happening with the people who are already adopting these technologies in higher rates, not only e-commerce, like we have seen many data out there,
sure,
that in these 6, 7, 8 months, the increase of e-commerce, for instance, has been exploding, not only in the United States, but also in Mexico. But in education, we have seen that, of course, if you see the private sector in education, they are covered in many ways with the technology and with the tools to take advantage of these constraints, no? But if you look at other areas of education, especially in the public sector, that's not necessarily the same thing. But also, that conditions represent an opportunity, I think, for more innovation, low-cost approaches, business models, to reach out to them and then have more platforms in the future that can reach more students. So I think it will be era of lot of innovation.
Sí.
Justo yo pensaba en, realmente en la educación tenemos que ir a digital a fuerza, o sea, y en qué grados sí tenemos que ir a digital, o esto es solo una como una respuesta al problema que tenemos ahorita y que ni modo que se queden fuera los niños, entonces pues bueno, hay que ver cómo nos organizamos de manera digital para poder estar al corriente y lo digital nos permite eso, estar comunicados, etcétera. Pero no sé si en este caso, por ejemplo, en la educación, sobre todo en las primeras etapas, sea una de esas cosas que sí se tienen que quedar. A lo mejor sí va a haber como cuestiones tecnológicas, pero no como se están llevando ahorita. Por eso hay muchas personas que simplemente dicen, bueno, yo voy a sacar a mi hijo de la escuela y pues aquí consigo una maestra y nos dan las clases en la cuadra y así es como lo solucionamos. Y también creo que mucho, o sea, como lo que decías, es hay que pensar también que estas tecnologías o esta adopción de tecnología sí ha sido acelerada para muchos, pero en el camino, como dices, se ha quedado mucha gente pues en el limbo. Y entonces ahí es donde, ¿cuál es la oportunidad para ese sector que a lo mejor no se va a integrar por ahora o en mucho tiempo a estas nuevas tendencias de maneras de interactuar? Entonces, ¿qué se puede innovar ahí? Y entonces me pongo a pensar, va a haber como un mundo dividido entre la gente que sí adoptó y los que se quedaron relegados y esos. O sea, ¿qué va a haber para ellos, ¿no? Creo que sobre lo que decía Rob, si esto es como una solo una respuesta o ya es algo acelerado, creo que es como una mezcla de ambas cosas, porque hay algunas cosas que sí se aceleraron y que a lo mejor sí venían como una tendencia que para quedarse, como el e-commerce o ese tipo de cosas. Pero hay otras que creo que sí son simplemente una solución a corto plazo para poder seguir operando el mundo, porque si no de otra manera, pues, bueno, igual innovaríamos de otra forma, ¿no? No digitalmente, pero tendríamos que, pues no podríamos seguir, la economía se pararía más de lo que ya está parada. Entonces creo que es una mezcla de las dos cosas.
Yo, bueno, estoy en español también para cambiar, pero sí, yo creo que la aceleración de la adopción digital por sí misma trae oportunidades, ¿no? la brecha digital, the digital gap that we have in many segments of population, of it's also an opportunity, you know, to bring these technologies, and even though that it could take years to close or to fill this gap, technologies are there. Technologies are already there, and then we have 5G. Just a few months from now to be more or some years to be more widespread the new standard in mobile cells communications. And that's another opportunity, because 5G is a huge increase, it's a huge improvement in speeds of transmission and so on. And I think that I agree, it's a mix. It's like I say, I like to say it's a mix hybrid thing, and it depends on the situation and the context. It will have how much of this, how much of that. But also we need to understand that the digital world is a backup, because this pandemic is not gonna be the last one, or many other things.
Exactly.
And you know, so we need to have a backup plan, and also, we need to, for instance, these technologies allow us to reach communities that are not even connected to the physical education. You know what I mean? And very remote villages, rural areas. And what I'm saying is, like, we have another opportunity to fill this gap and to allow these communities that are marginalized to have an option as well, no? To be connected to education, entertainment, and communication in terms of other type of communications. So I think that there's a lot of opportunities there, but I agree, it's a mixed hybrid world. And I think that platforms that allow for that, even educational platforms that allow for hybrid options,
they'll win. They'll win. I like in their competitive world, right? The users, as you say, raise all boats, right? So the users are going to win long term, but ultimately, in the competitive context of university versus university or corporate versus corporate, one of the themes that came up last night, which was fascinating to me, is like there seems to still be this divide, and maybe this goes to Ileana's point from earlier today or the beginning of this podcast, right? About like we're making a lot of opinions and a lot of assumptions, and we don't know. But there does seem to be now 8-9 months into this thing where there's fatigue, right? There does seem to be kind of developing this. I'm firmly in the camp of leaning forward, right? So like I answer my own question. This is an accelerant, right? Like I believe this is accelerating the trends, but. Then there was a camp last night in this other conversation where there were some people who were kind of like, I don't know. And, you know, we're not sure. And it's got to be better than the way we're doing it now. And the apps have to improve and the platforms have to get better. And those of us who believe it's an accelerant to the inevitable, our response was kind of like your comment a couple minutes ago, Rafa, which is, yeah, of course, the Zoom of a year from now is going to be dramatically better and different than the Zoom from today. And if it's not, there will be some other platform that will come along and that will replace it and be better, just like Zoom did to Skype effectively or to Meet. So yeah, I'm a big believer that this was all coming over the next 10 to 15 years, 20 years anyways. And the pandemic has come along and just hyper accelerated it. And now we're going to wind up in just a completely new world, which is filled with opportunities, but we're going to have to like lean into those opportunities being attacked in like truly new innovative ways and stop getting caught up in like the present day reality. Like how this feels when you're stuck working from home with your three kids and the dogs and their school, the kids can't go to school because it's a pandemic and your husband doesn't leave for work and you don't leave. Like, okay, that's not normal. And that's not remote work. That's pandemic work. That's pandemic, right? And pandemic education at Tech de Monterrey is going to be very different than just traditional, like full-blown digital education at Tech de Monterrey in 2025.
Yeah, yeah.
But we will have learned from the pandemic, I think. Like, that's my humble opinion. Like,
yeah, I think that, and I think that the bottom line of all this is the learning. We have learned a lot in many fronts, how to deal with the personal, familiar, work, education at home, and how we are learning. So we are learning in the different ways that 9 months ago, that last year, we didn't think that we were being 100% digital.
I wonder, all our energy is being put into like how to educate kids today with all these technologies and connectedness or disconnectedness. Is anybody paying attention to educating kids today so that when they graduate next year or the year after or the year after, they enter the new digital, new world more prepared to function in that world? So not just how are we fixing how we educate at Tech de Monterrey, for example, how do we fix our systems? Okay, cool. Everybody digital because it's working for us. But like, are we actually paying attention to preparing the young people to work and thrive and start businesses that are going to be digital only or digital hybrid or digital mostly? That's what I'm really curious about, because I feel so much energy going into like survive, fix, advance, just operate and exist right now, which is totally normal. It's a pandemic. I'm really curious, like, are we educating people so that when they walk out, they come ready to function in this world? And you know better than we do, so I'd love to hear your opinion.
Yeah, I think that, as you mentioned, we are in this emergency situation that by now seems more normal than emergency, you know, and probably we felt like emergency in the first 4-6 months. Now we are feeling like, especially when we are told that this will last to the next year, you know, until we have under control this pandemic. And so, but I think that new ideas, not only fixing the current system, but I think new ideas will come out for inventing new things, new. It's something that it doesn't have to be only in apps, educational apps or educational platforms. You know what I'm trying to say? It's also about inventing new institutions, new organizations, you know, in order to take advantage of all the things that are happening and the things that are being accelerated right now.
I would imagine like new, like human behaviors as teachers, as professors, how we train our professors, methodologies, like systems, not just the technology and the tools, but like the actual, like rewiring the brain.
Exactly, the minds. And I think that, and for instance, we've been talking a lot about kids, but awesome. Let's talk about adults. Old people, you know, they have to struggle. We have been some months ago, we have a training with a university in Chile, and we have some teachers, a faculty above 60 years old, you know, and some of them were struggling with the things we were doing with them. The easy part was Zoom, you know, but we were using other platforms and they struggle a lot, but they are. And I think that all this faculty deserves a bigger respect because they are trying really hard to catch up with technology. So what I'm trying to say is that opportunities not only for young people, for kids in education, but also to what they call it in the upskill.
Right. Yeah. There's a whole lot of disruption coming to the work, to the economy, which we're not even going to talk about today. Right. Exactly.
And then you can see it in education as well. And I think that saying that is okay. We need to fix. We need to optimize in this new situation using these digital technologies and platforms. But I think that we are seeing the seeds probably of things that can be invented, not only technologies or approaches, pedagogy, different kind of teaching, learning approaches, but also new organization, new kind of institution, educational institutions you know. Sí. I mean, we have seen this before the pandemic, many new business models and organizations, educational organizations are trying to do things differently and more effectively. And I think that we will see it in the near future, probably in the next 3 or 5 years, especially trying to take advantage of all this. So what else? What was the other part? Mm-hmm.
No, that's it. I mean, you hit on it. To me, honestly, the big takeaway, yes, maybe it's a great summary for all of us to just to remember when it comes to this complex a topic.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
There are no easy answers. And you said something, I'll lean on it, is like, we're in the emergency room still. Yeah. Like, we're the collective patient, humankind, mm-hmm, and trying to get through the pandemic with all these technologies and education and work and all that advancement. Like, mm-hmm, we're still the sick patient, like literally just trying to stop the bleeding, like, yeah, today. And we probably shouldn't focus on anything other than surviving right now. And then being open to the fact that there are healthier ways to live, to function.
And in all that, I think we should remember that the physical presence, being together.
Nothing could ever replace that.
Yeah, exactly. And remember that if we are able to work remotely or learn remotely, is because we have previous social ties, social bonds. I mean, we knew each other. It's not like, of course, you can meet people, and but it's not the same. And remember that also the education is not only the subjects, the topics, the mathematics or chemistry or, languages or whatever. It's also about meeting people, making a network, participating in social activities, in sports activities, in artistical activities. So it's a bunch of things.
Friends.
That, I mean, you can try to dance.
Yeah.
You can try to dance on Zoom, but it's not the same.
I was just going to say,
it will be never the same. You know, it's not the same.
No.
You need to be in front of the other person to dance.
I was going to say, probably not a good indictment of my own history, but probably most of what I learned in university was the social aspect that had nothing to do with the classroom.
Yeah, I mean, you learn a lot of critical thinking, system thinking. You learn many things that you use and take for granted. But for sure, the more enriching part of education is human.
Yeah,
I would say that. From kindergarten to even in the PhD, you need to reach out to people. Otherwise, mm-hmm, you get crazy. You know what I mean? So it's not like
totally agree.
If you would, I would love to revisit this conversation like every 3 or 4.
Yes,
months. That would be great.
Right? I mean, because I think that's the reality that we're functioning in right now. Right? And if we don't, if we just treat it as like a one-off podcast, mm-hmm, today in the middle of the emergency room, like, then it's forgotten. That's a missed opportunity in itself right there.
Yeah.
Right. Because you're an expert in this. Literally, this is what you do every day. And what people are going to hear when they listen to today's episode is going to help inform their perspective or their thought process or their beliefs right now. But if we come back and we talk about it again, because again, Ileana and I, we did an episode probably 4 or 5, almost 6 months ago, and we didn't talk specifically about education, but we did talk about this remote work and work from home, and because it was all so new and overwhelming. So if you would do that, I would love to make this maybe a couple times in the next year where we come back and we revisit this topic and we talk about what's changed.
For sure. I mean, we have already been 2 semesters of remote learning and remote work as well. When we talk again, we will have the vaccine deployed in many, you know, hopefully it will be deployed in many for a large amount of people. And we will see. And it's something, and I think that this time it's very entrepreneurial, you know, it's fit for entrepreneurs, you know, that like to
100%
to ride in uncertainties and discovering things
And try and fail and try again.
Creating new ideas, I think. And try, I think that, of course, for many of the entrepreneurs that we're already there with new business models, more for this kind of situation, a digital remote thing, remote work. But I think that it will bring another more opportunities.
No, 100% agree. Ilay, I'm super grateful that you brought Rafa to the show today. This was awesome. Like Rafa, she messaged me last week and said, Rafa and I just got off the phone. We had an incredible conversation. I want to continue that on the podcast. I was like, let's do it. Let's do it. All right. So this is awesome. I thank you so much, Rafa. It's a pleasure. I love listening to your wisdom and your perspective. I think everybody can learn from it. You know, we've got to be patient. We've got to be open-minded. We've got to be open to learning, you said, and we've got to be just kind of thinking entrepreneurially about everything that we're going through in life.
Yeah, yeah.
And then seize those opportunities to apply it as we go forward.
So. Yeah, yeah. And I would like to finish with this. I remember Clayton Christensen from Harvard when they say education has not been disrupted. You know, we might be in a time that education is going to be disrupted.
Wow.
After.
Y qué momento tan emocionante para vivirlo, ¿no? O sea,
that's
que
awesome.
Seamos parte de eso, qué emoción. Perfecto, pues sí. Muchísimas gracias, Rafa. Bueno. Muchísimas gracias, Rob. Un placer tenerte por acá y pues nos vemos en un próximo episodio. Muchísimas gracias por escucharnos donde quiera que se encuentren. Les pedimos que por favor nos sigan, si les gustó este podcast, que nos sigan en las diferentes redes sociales, que nos escuchen en las diferentes plataformas y también que nos sigan en nuestros perfiles de redes sociales. Nos pueden seguir en Instagram como Mentors Today. No olviden que dentro del perfil pueden dar clic al link que está en la biografía para enviarnos su pregunta y cada semana poder participar.